Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring to you our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's it going?
Well, it's going well, and I know the news that you really wanted to hear this morning. Donovan Ezeraku has moved from 40-1 for Defensive Rookie of the Year to 25-1. Catch the fever.
Well, he got in there early and he stayed late. So I thought that was a really good sign of their recognizing not only does he have pass rush skills, but he has the ability to kind of anchor down the edge against the run. And that's something I think young guys have to understand, that there's more to playing defensive end in this league than just going for sacks. You got to be a complete player. And I think, so far with that draft choice, they've hit a home run.
Now, the player that really stood out to me, and it was partially because I thought he forgot that he was on the roster early in the season, was Dante Fowler. In this game, he had 8 pressures, which is the second most in his career since 2018. Is there anything in particular that you saw from that game that felt different? Because, again, I was excited when they made that signing, and I thought he has been mostly missing in action these first several games.
Yeah, I think my word to describe that was finally, right?
Yeah.
Where you been?
Yeah.
Now, he did pick a little bit on the rookie right tackle.
Where's that rookie from again?
He's from the University of Missouri.
Okay.
First round draft choice, though, by
oh,
the way.
Yeah. Sorry, Mickey.
I was going to point it out, but, since you did. That's what you thought you were going to get, and we really haven't seen that much. So I'm not sure what, turned him on that way. But sure, it was a welcome change to, you thought you had a veteran coming off a 10.5 sack season, and it's like, okay, let's go. And then it was like, well, where are you? And, he got his hand up in the air. So you got to hope that that wasn't, like one of those one-hit wonders. Got to keep doing that from that standpoint.
Now, Mickey, Jerry was asked this morning about potentially trading for
something. Don't do it.
And he said the phone lines are always wide open. Do you think they have any interest in trying to pursue a defensive end that might be available to end up from another team?
Well, those guys are hard to find, right?
Mm-hmm.
That are available. They're out there, but who wants to trade one?
Yeah.
This isn't Major League Baseball.
The Bengals
or the Raiders.
This ain't Major League Baseball where you we're not playing well. We're going to unload everybody because there's consequences for trading guys from the salary cap standpoint, right? I think you keep your eyes wide open, and I don't know that you go out there and go, okay, well, I'm going to spend one of my first round picks. Because then there's salary cap ramifications. Am I trading for a guy on the last year of his contract? And potentially, I'm going to get him for 12 games or 8 games, and then he's going to be a free agent. So it gets kind of complicated to make, I think, a major deal. I would imagine, they're going to keep their eyes wide open for anything available that's within reason. I don't know that you need to go force it. And you got to figure out, what is it, the first week in November?
Right.
Where are you at?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Because, I don't know that if you're not, one guy's going to come in and save the day. Now, if you can enhance what you have, then sure, pony up. But, yeah, there's a lot to decide for you got a month to go, what, four or five games yet?
Yeah, and I guess what I'm a little concerned of, and I will certainly acknowledge, you know, Steven always likes to say, hey, they pay their players too, and winning an NFL game is difficult. But if you look at the rest of the Cowboys October, it's not as difficult as the schedule to come. I'm worried about, like, some fool's gold in the scheduling and thinking you're better than you are and leveraging that into a big deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but again, those teams that, you know, kind of, I called it the Burma Road, those six straight, you know, are they going to be that good when you get to them?
Yeah.
Some of them are starting to lose.
No,
right?
You're right.
The Chargers you thought were, untouchable.
Right. Same with the Packers before them.
Packers. Yeah. And by the way,
the Eagles
only have one less loss than the Cowboys.
Oh, did you see the amazing Eagles stat, Mickey? And if not, can I tell it to you now?
Please.
The Eagles have been outgained in all five of their games thus far.
Yeah.
First since the 87 Giants as the defending Super Bowl champs.
That's amazing. It would have been the 86 Giants. 87 Super Bowl, probably.
No, I'm saying the next year.
Oh, the next year.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Okay. Yeah. And that was a strike year, too, so put an asterisk on it.
Oh, so you're an asterisk
Three games. Yeah.
I'm glad y'all just had this moment of conversation here. Mickey.
Clarity, right?
Yeah. My big question is, when you go to the fence in your backyard and do you open the fence door or do you open the gate?
Open the gate.
Okay, thank you. Kevin calls it a fence door.
Look, man, I think of a gate as like kind of a more of a horizontal iron construction that has multiple doors to it and opens up. I realize that every single person except for one person has been on my side. Everybody else is against me. That feels weird.
Boy, what a setup. Huh?
I say the fence door, and everybody is angry about that.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure.
Thanks, Corey.
I have a lot of trust.
Well, you don't
in
say, you know, you didn't close the barn gate, right?
Exactly.
Barn door.
Exactly.
Valid
hey,
point, valid
you know
point.
What I'm about to recreate for Corey right now is Jerry Jones with those Jets fans.
Ow.
Do you think that was an accident or?
What do you mean?
When he gave the finger to me. He said it goes Cowboys fans.
I'm sure he thought it was a lot of fun, right?
Yeah.
Agreed.
And you know what? Sometimes those fans deserve that. If you've ever been in a stadium, I remember being in Jacksonville and a long time ago, and it was an open air box that he was in. And they spent more time yelling at him than watching the game, right? And at some point, we had all done the same thing.
Probably so. Probably
right?
So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've definitely done the same thing. Yeah.
The young linebackers on this team had some good outings. Do you feel like they're going to start to see more playing time?
Well, they better. Mm. I mean, you know, I think what happened with Shamar James, it's like we all got carried away with, well, the Cowboys won. Oh, they won with four backup offensive linemen. Look what Javonte Williams did. Look what Ryan Flannoy did, right? And on and on. And then the next day, I think when I woke up in the morning, I grabbed the stat sheet and actually looked at the defensive stats. And he's the leading tackler with 15.
I know.
How does that happen? And guess what? Talking to the guys in PR after they went over the coach's tape, he's got 17 they're giving him. 17 tackles.
Steven yesterday was like 14 or 15 based on who's counting. And so the coach has counted 17.
I
like it.
And he played, I think it was 73% of the snaps. And the idea going in, I saw on the first series when he got to a third down, they lined up a six-man defensive front, and he was standing over the center guard. Right? And he rushed. He almost batted the pass down. The second time possession, they got to a third down. They did the same. And the third time, he was one of the stand-up linebackers, right? And then Jack Sanborn has the concussion, and it's like, okay, big boy, all you. And he goes in there and plays one of the linebacker spots, either on the outside, a couple times on the nickel. He was the lone linebacker in the middle. And, you know, I mean, remember, they traded up for him in the fifth round. And because of his athletic ability, I think he had maybe a little bit of an injury his last year there at Florida. And maybe that's why he fell. But they were big time on his athletic ability. And I think it showed his ability to run. Now, as he said yesterday, that, you know, I can do better on some of my drops and pass coverage, and I wasn't really that good at it. But somehow he was getting to the ball. And it's like, okay, you got these young guys, get them in there. And I thought, you know, out of necessity, and I don't know if it'll continue, but with Sanborn out, they kind of move Murray to middle linebacker and use these young guys on the edge that have all this, you know, and not to, you know, ignore Leofau and, you know, his ability. Yeah, play these guys, you know, get the young guys going. And I think, you know, he showed up. I mean, 17 tackles, that's got to be a first in quite some time to have that many.
And I was already impressed with 15 tackles. So
I
know it will sound like absolute madness, except it's happened two straight times. How are we going to get the Cowboys to score two more touchdowns in the final minute or two of the first half again this week?
Oh, that's a pretty good trick, huh? To double up like that and then get the ball coming out?
It's a crazy sounding stat. In the last 2 weeks, in the final 2 minutes of the first half, the Cowboys have outscored their opponents 27-0.
And it helps when you get a turnover takeaway, right?
It does. Can I ask you about the other side of that, though? Because with the struggles prior to this game that the defense had really been having, it felt like it was on the offense not only to score points, but to protect the defense. And to me, it feels like a huge deal that this is the second straight game that the offense didn't turn the ball over.
Yeah, and got what, one takeaway?
I think it was just one. Yeah.
One. Yeah.
But still.
But you got one, right?
Yes.
And, you know, when you look at the defense, and I keep a little extra folded up sheet here for just notes as the game's going along, and I said, first drive, at least not a touchdown. They held them to a field goal.
Yeah.
Drove right down the field, but they made plays. And that's the key on defense. You know, you can give up all these yards and, you know, third downs, but can you make a play when you need to make a play? And they did. Tackle for a loss, get a turnover, bat a ball down at the line of scrimmage, which might have been an interception had the sky cam not got in the way. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, and so we talked about it because I got really annoyed that I think it's Florio or Pro Football Talk was like, oh, the Jets really got jobbed on that. And I'm like, no, they didn't. The Cowboys did.
Yeah, because that ball was going, you know, it was going to be up there for a while, not go knock it straight down, sort of like the Packers' last play before they kicked the tying field goal.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't that ball pop up in the air and go, no, it goes straight down. But anyway, I mean, you know, weird things like that, but again, you batted the ball, so good on you. And so they made plays, and I thought that was the big difference. I could hear you ringing in my ears from back down in Jimmy's days, and he'd be on the sideline, even in practice, and he's clapping like he's doing the gator clap, you know?
Yeah.
And he's going, who's going to make the play? Who's going to make the play? And that's what defense is about. You got to make a play. Cornerbacks are going to get beat. There's a reason why quarterbacks pass for 4,000 yards. But can you make a play for me? Can you break up a ball or two? Can I get an interception? That's the difference for a cornerback play, because they're going to complete passes. You're not going to shut people out, right?
Yeah.
Go ask Sauce, right?
Yeah.
All you got to do is give up one 43-yard touchdown.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And everybody thinks, oh, that guy's not that good. Well, he was pretty good the whole game, but the Cowboys made a play on him. And those are the things that have to happen aside from just looking at the stats. You got to look inside the box of stats to see how they did on certain plays.
Excellent stuff as always, good sir. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow.
All right, sounds good. See, oh, and by the way, I can't remember who said it, but you got to get a tabletop ice maker.
Oh,
interesting.
Tabletop ice maker.
That's a bougie ice maker is what you're saying.
You just put water in it and shut the door and the thing produces little round cubes of ice.
That's what we got to do. Okay. Kevin. That's what we can be real fancy. Yeah,
Mickey is fancy. All right. Yeah. Thank you very much, good sir.
See ya.
There you go. Mickey Spagnola from DallasCowboys.com. If you can, real quick, Alec, can you give me cut number 9, please?
First time the Mavericks had ever moved up in the lottery, and now we'll see Flag shoot and knock down at 3-point.
There we go.
Now, Cooper Flag, I believe he missed his first 2 or 3 shots.
What
did
like Brandon Aubrey.
Oh, yeah. But then he started hitting those 3-pointers. In 14 minutes, he had 10.6 rebounds and 3 assists, which I think is the kind of like balanced-esque stat line you might see during the regular season, but I want to make clear, I already thought that. I'm not basing that off of a preseason game alone because that would be ridiculous. But it was cool to see him out there, like actually in the Mavs uniform for a preseason game, and they won, in case you care about that.
Is this the most exciting season for you in a long time?
I guess
last year you just come off the
Yeah, exactly. And that's why it's hard finals to say. I'm really excited about the season, but you're right. Before the incident, that's what I'm just going to say from now on. You're not that far removed from being in the finals and the next year thinking, holy crap, maybe this is the year that we win the NBA title. So I can't say it's been but a couple of years since I've been this excited about it.
Yeah.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus I found another dumb way to make running fun. Next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan, where I had to delete an exclamation point out of an email on the advice of Alec Medford.
You have to ask the question now.
How many exclamation points is too many in an email? Now, Alec, the email was to Chuck Morgan, who I want to point out just super quick, 45 seconds, how awesome Chuck Morgan is. I sent Chuck an email yesterday. He responded to me this morning and apologized for how long it took to get back to me, which, first of all, that is a totally normal like amount of time if you need to email me back. And he had also helped us out with a problem that we ran into with one of our previous auction items. And then I had asked him if he would consider doing his auction package again. And he told me a cool little story and then also said, yeah, same auction package for next year's fine, which will include Rangers tickets and the opportunity to go hang out with Chuck Morgan in the booth in his studio during a Rangers game.
You're kidding me.
Did you say yes?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I did.
Wow.
And hence the need to delete one exclamation point. By the way, Rangers fans, one more thing we're going to have for Peace-a-thon. A 4-ticket package with each ticket from the Rangers being worth at least $150. And you get to go on the field during batting practice to hang out.
What?
So there's that. And now there's this.
What does this button do?
Please, please do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. 1 for Alec, 0 for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
No! Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the Pride of Mansfield, Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah. 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer today's question of the day. Plus, in honor of National Taco Day, I found another dumb way to make running fun. Hear me out. I know running is not fun to everybody, but this concept, I think we could turn into something.
The Taco Mile?
Close.
See, I'm interested in this because the issue that I've always had with running is I get like basketball or racquetball. It's like you're engaged in something that feels like it has a logical, maybe competitive outcome.
Sure.
I get in running if you're like competing against yourself, but it always felt pointless to me. And I'm like, oh, there's a tree. This is boring.
That's how I feel with treadmills. I can't run on treadmills because I can't stand to see the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
But that's why I do enjoy distance running, like actually on a trail.
Alec.
Oh.
So sorry. From the 314.
Medford.
What?
I won the Chuck Morgan package last year and it was freaking awesome.
In your face.
Mm. So there you go.
On mine?
No, just the people that didn't win it.
Oh. Mm. Well, I didn't win it, so I guess that counts for me.
Yep, this? I'm sorry.
Yeah. And my favorite part of Peace-a-thon is inevitably losing my favorite packages to Derek Holland because he's very wealthy.
A couple years ago, I fell asleep after Peace-a-thon and didn't get to put another bid in for the Luke Skywalker rookie card that I wanted. And Paul Worth from Worth Collecting Waxahachie said, I'll get another one and sell it for the price that you would have bid. And I just thought that was super duper.
That's awesome.
Did you lowball the price?
No, the price was based on where the auction was at the time. That'd be hard to fake. I'd be like, I bid $80. And he's like, it went for $300.
Yeah, I've literally never won anything because I get outbid by people I know. I've gotten outbid by
Derek
Holland.
Like your dad. Yes.
And my own dad outbid me on a signed Rey Mysterio mask, and then he gifted it to me for my college graduation. So I've literally never won. I need to break that streak this year. I need to win something.
Do it.
I'm going to try my best.
Here's hoping.
Absolute best. Here's to hoping.
I hope you lose to someone who continues to bid it up.
Oh, yeah. If you're going to like triple my highest bid, please. Yeah, like if you're going to, you know, one up me by 10 bucks or something, come on, man. Let me get a win. I just want to win, man. Speaking of wins, guys, the question of the day is actually going to be fantasy related because something happened last night in one of my fantasy leagues. I ended up beating somebody in a 10-team PPR league by like 20 points. Comfortable win. And he immediately sent me a trade offer.
Oh.
I have Saquon Barkley in this league. I'm not a Eagles fan. Like some people. And I had the third pick. I took him. I haven't been too pleased with his volume. He sent me an offer, Saquon Barkley, in exchange for three players, Garrett Wilson, Kenneth Walker, the Seattle running back, and Rashee Rice, which I feel like is a steal to offload Barkley, considering my wide receivers suck
That was going to be my question in this scenario, because then what you have to factor into the trade is you also have to drop two players off your roster, probably.
That's right. And I had two season injuries, so I can clear up those with IR spots. So I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good with roster spots.
Okay, because that's what I always wonder if you're like, ooh, I got to drop at least one player I kind of like, but sounds like you do not have that concern.
And he sent that to me. I didn't even counter with that or anything. That was the first offer.
How drunk was he?
Exactly. And this was at like midnight. So I'm thinking like, okay, something's going on here. And it was to the point where our commissioner texted him and said, do you really want to do this? And he was like, yeah, is it a bad trade? And he was like, I'm accepting it. I'm pushing it through. So I accepted the trade and I feel like I got a highway robbery.
Yeah.
In that case.
Yeah.
Also considering my other two running backs, Jonathan Taylor and Chuba Hubbard. So I feel like I'm doing pretty good in terms of depth. So I want to know, what's the best trade you've ever pulled off in fantasy? 877-881-1053. It could be a decade ago with players that aren't even in the league anymore. Because I'm the type of guy, I'm stingy. I don't send trade offers. I let them come to me. I'm Jerry Jones in fantasy. The phone is always open. Like, you can always hit me up and offer. Like, Choppy in the hallway yesterday was saying, let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. And I'm like, you have my phone number. Text me or send me an offer. I'm not reaching out first. So I want to know, what's the biggest heist you've pulled off in fantasy?
I don't know if this counts, Corey, but was you trading for Lamar Jackson up in the mix? Because you said he led you to the title.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson, getting him last year for essentially, well, it wasn't a heist, though.
It was a fair.
I had to trade Bijan for him.
Now,
I was stacked at running back, but having Bijan was like really nice. But I needed a quarterback so badly because I decided I waited too long. There's a very fine window of waiting for a quarterback.
Sure.
And I waited too long on that one. And that one just so happened to have like the best year for him, you know, like that just happened to be the right one. I think it was 2013. I had swung a trade and it was like a second receiver that I traded for Vernon Davis. And Vernon Davis ended up having like 13 touchdowns and 850 yards that year. And I went on to be in the championship game too.
Okay.
But being able to get a tight end where I was stacked everywhere else for a backup or a second receiver was one of those like magical moments in a fantasy trade history.
I like that. From the 858, I haven't made the trade yet, but I'm about to trade AJ Brown, big name, for a Jersey Mike sub.
I would take a Jersey Mike sub any day of the week.
So would I. And they followed up and said, at least the sandwich won't let me down.
Okay. Is it safe to assume then that you guys are not anticipating him getting traded elsewhere and thus taking off to another NFL team?
I'm not right now. Okay. I'm not thinking that right now.
Okay.
What? But, and I don't know.
Then
would Howie Roseman
point.
Do that right now?
I think he would too. He's like the Preller of the NFL, right?
Yeah.
But the only reason to trade him right now is because he's whining. And I just don't know if that's enough. If he's like, no, the talent's still good enough to keep. And that's where I'm kinda like, what outweighs the other? And the player hasn't necessarily asked for it. He's just said, I'm just going to shrug my shoulders and act. And then he also tackled his teammate who was trying to get a game winner. Maybe he is affecting the wins.
If you see the Diana Russini report from like yesterday or over the weekend, him and Devontae Smith are both upset with their status with the team. Devontae is just not talking about it to the media, to his teammates. It's more within his inner circle that he's like, yeah, this kind of sucks. You know, not getting any volume. AJ Brown's tweeting about it. You know, so that's why I think, Corey.
He said that's not what that was about.
I've said a lot of things.
Sometimes people don't tell the truth.
Yeah, we've all lied before.
Not once.
Have you ever seen that Ricky Gervais? I think it's a movie.
The Invention of Lying?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
I've not.
You should check it out.
I want to now.
He lives in a society where nobody lies. And so he like tells a lie and everyone believes him because nobody lies. And that like becomes his life. It's an interesting premise.
But then he's got the repercussions to deal with lying.
Well,
otherwise, it'd be a boring movie. And like the entire movie was just him lying and he did it.
Jennifer Garner's in it.
That would be a twist if like, you know, the trailer is a minute long and it's just like this guy lives in a perfect society, but he starts lying. So you think, oh, there's going to be some sort of major mistake and there's no payoff.
And it all
just
worked out.
He just keeps lying. And it's like, life is perfect. I would be like, Oscars right now. What are we doing? This is amazing. But from the 817, I got Luka for Steph Curry and went undefeated.
Whoa.
Pretty amazing right there.
Okay.
That isn't a heist though, right? Like it
doesn't have to be a heist.
It's a really good player.
I'd like to know if it was a heist. If it ends up helping you win a championship, I'll call it a heist. Why not? Because you won the league. But I see this from the 817, and I hate dynasty leagues, but the stories like this are always good. From the 817, before the season started, I traded away.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyreek Hill and Terry McLaurin for Christian McCaffrey and a second-round pick next year.
Well, I mean, that's turning out very nice.
Turning out pretty well, pretty well.
Because I wouldn't have thought that would have been a heist, but when you look at the way the season's played out, definitely.
Yeah, from the 940, I traded Derrick Henry and Jordan Addison for CeeDee Lamb and Jaden Blue. My other running backs are Javonte, Cook, and Barkley, and I lost Hill and Neighbors for the year. This is in a $1,000 league.
Oh, my God.
High stakes.
What's the most expensive league you've ever played in?
500.
Okay.
Finished in second, made out pretty well. Okay. It was really weird, though, because they really waited the winner to get a lot more.
Okay.
And I think, is a fan league still like winner takes all, or do they have tiers?
I think there's tiers.
Okay, there was one year that they were like, winner takes all, and I was like, oh, man, like it's kind of fun for everybody to have a little piece of it.
Yeah.
I did suggest this year, Alec, to my fantasy league to do a dynasty league. I threw it out every year before we do the draft. We all make our suggestions, and I suggested it. And then whenever we voted for it, I did not vote for it. So I suggested it, but I also didn't want it, so we didn't do it.
Huh.
I don't want to do a dynasty league. I just wanted to see what anybody else thought about it, Kevin.
Okay.
I'm a man of democracy.
Uh-huh.
Not constitutional republic.
I don't even know what that is compared to.
You probably should.
That sounds concerning.
You probably should.
It's a trap.
I like that. Thank you. Appreciate the interaction there. Keep those coming in. 877-881-1053. Your best fantasy trades that you've ever pulled off. And I diverted because that was such a big deal in my league that it had the group chat going crazy all night from an amazing holiday. It's National Taco Day, people.
Oh, tacos.
Tacos are amazing. Where are you guys going to be on Friday?
I might be at UNT's game, so I might be at Datku Stadium.
But before that.
Oh.
From 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. specifically.
I will be at Taco Bueno!
7940 North Central Expressway. You know what that felt like, Alec? I feel your pain on that. Yeah. That felt like a layup to Mike.
That,
where he was like, if you win the Cowboys tickets, you have to use them.
That's exactly.
If you go to Taco Bueno, you have to eat the tacos.
Oh, not necessarily.
Or
don't taco, threaten me with a
or
good
the
time.
Party burritos.
Yeah, taco burger.
Oh my! I didn't get one.
Fred
last time.
Ate like 18 of those.
Yeah. I'm gonna eat two next time.
I was concerned.
I could have eaten 20 of them. I swear, those are my favorite thing on the menu. But in honor of National Taco Day, I've discovered I have an idea to spin this. The 50K Taco Bell Ultra Marathon went down in Denver, Colorado last weekend. It's a 50-kilometer race that's just a hair over 31 miles, I believe. And it weaves throughout Denver with the runners stopping at 10 different Taco Bell locations to eat and drink staples like Baja Blast, Crunchwrap Supremes, all that. So I was thinking, what if I get back into full distance running mode, I get back up to like 10K stamina because I can't do 50K. I just can't. My knees are too bad at this state of life. Yeah, I've had like multiple ACL, patellar tendon issues and stuff, meniscus, all that. You name it, I've had it before. And I was thinking, there's a bunch of Taco Buenos around the like Arlington area, Mansfield even. I could probably draw up a course if. Let's say next year, Taco Bueno, I dare you to do the Friday football feast again next year. I'll draw up a route and I will run a Taco Bueno 10K.
Oh, yes. If we're allowed to leave the Taco Bueno at any point, I will be one of those people who stands out there to hand you water or a drink or something like
that. Or a beef roll up.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's my fuel. You know, they have like those little like gummy packs that the runners take with electrolytes. No, I don't need any of that. Screw science.
No, on one of those.
Give me a roll up and I will make that 10K happen.
Just wanted you to know, Kevin, your flooring guy is texting into our show. He's talking a lot of trash right now. So.
Oh, but I like him. He did such a good job with our floor.
He does a good job. He's just a big trash talker.
That's right.
Does he ever put in a floor and he adds in a trap gate?
What?
No, it would be a trap door. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Gotcha. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. We will dive back into the Monday night football game right here on 105.3 The Fan.
It's first and goal with 30 seconds left. Now Lawrence goes down, has to get up, breaks a tackle, touchdown Jacksonville.
Trey Aikman significantly better on that call than Joe Buck. That was a terrible description. He fell down, tried to get up, fell back down again, and then made the run. So do better, Joe Buck. Right now, powered by Men's Tea Clinic, it's time for Gridiron Gravy.
Dip it and rip it.
Now, I got a couple of injury updates for you. Word going around is that Landon Dickerson could miss multiple games with his ankle injury for the Eagles. Brock Bowers is considered week to week. And then this is a hell of a second opinion. There was word that Terrion Arnold for the Lions was going to be out for the rest of the year. However, second opinion on a shoulder. Now there is thought that not only will he be back, he could be back by the end of the month.
Really?
What happened with the first doctor?
Well, Kevin, sometimes the first doctor is against you. And then the second doctor is for you.
Okay.
Remember, Micah had to go get a second opinion.
Mm.
Remember that?
I do.
How'd that turn out?
Well, he has fewer sacks than James Houston. All right.
Someone's dying.
Let's go from that to the no longer Arlington Renegades. And this whole story is a little confusing. They were the Arlington Renegades because they played in Arlington. They're moving to Frisco, so they will now be called the Dallas Renegades. To which, I wonder, why not the Frisco Renegades?
That's where all of Dallas sports is going anyway, Kevin.
To Frisco. It does kind of feel
Frisco
like that.
The Frisco Stars.
But will anyone tell as entertaining of an analogy about how we made it happen? Because the UFL made a lot of changes today, and you might be like, I don't care. But here's why you should care.
I do care.
Drink mogul Mike Riepoll, probably Riepoll, but still, he used an analogy, and he said, a restaurant may have great food, but if 19 of the 20 tables are available, you feel like you have food poisoning right before you walk in, right? But when the place is packed and you got a 10-minute wait for a table, you probably feel pretty confident that the food's good. That is his breakdown of the changes for the UFL. He's like,
nobody's been showing up.
Yeah, the stadiums are empty.
So we had diarrhea.
So he thinks it's bad football, but he thinks it's good football. And if they just switch and they'll be going to Toyota Stadium, which is where FC Dallas plays.
Do they realize they only have half a stadium right now?
Probably.
Okay.
I think it'll be okay.
Well, you know what? It'll look full.
See, I agree with that. Like, we talked with Tony Khan earlier. One of the things AEW did was they started running smaller venues and it was always full. And you're like, oh, man, that thing is popping.
Yes.
So,
yes,
there you go. But I just really wanted to throw out that comparison. Now, let's talk about the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore Ravens are the first team in NFL history to allow 37 or more points in four of their first five games.
Wow.
There's no way.
They're going to get screwed this year.
How are they going to get screwed? By not being by giving good up enough more points, to make the playoffs?
By continuing to give more points up.
There's no way. I thought even without Lamar Jackson, it would get this bad, right?
I don't know, man. Their defense was very leaky last year. They happened to have exceptional quarterback play to cover it up. And I know what you're saying. Cooper Rush is not exceptional.
True.
He's a serviceable backup. The reason he's not here this year, though, is because he had his chance to prove that he would continue to be serviceable last year. And what happened? They weren't successful.
Yeah.
So he had to go find another payday somewhere else. And but I understand where you're going with this, but their defense, Kevin, it just is continuing to fall apart.
You know, and it's funny that you say that because this has actually been problematic for multiple defenses, not just the Ravens and the Cowboys. Through week five, how many teams, if you had to guess, how many teams have scored 40 points in a game so far this season?
Two.
Okay.
Alec? Three.
Well, that was your guess.
Now, four. Wait.
Alec?
I was going to say four.
11.
What? Gosh.
11 different teams.
I was about to get there.
You were on that trajectory. Huh. 11 different teams have scored at least 40 points in a game. Consider this. The Colts, Cowboys, and Ravens have all done it twice, which means we have seen 14 40-point efforts. That is the most in the first 5 weeks at any period in NFL history.
I'm sure the Cowboys have done it like twice.
Okay, well.
Hey, Kevin,
that
real quick.
Is what I said.
The 214, does this mean Lamar Jackson is the system?
Yes, much like I thought Joe Burrow was the system.
And you can, your offense, your quarterback can be the system.
100%.
But what do I always say about what wins championships?
Defense.
And strong quarterback play.
Yes.
Like that was the conclusion we came to is your quarterback can be a no-name as long as he's playing strong quarterback. And just like Joe Burrow, the defense wasn't good enough to win that championship.
Yes.
Lamar Jackson's defense isn't good enough no matter if he is the system or not.
Now, let's go back to the running back position. Amarion Hampton did, in fact, go on injured reserve. We talked about it yesterday. Him being in a boot after the game didn't have to be a terrible sign, but it probably wasn't a good one, obviously. And unfortunately, he will be out for at least 4 weeks. Then what to do with this? Alec, I think you'll find this interesting. Saquon Barkley said he expects to play on Thursday, but he is suffering from, quote, general soreness. And I think it's the combination of general soreness, being a running back, and having a disappointing season thus far that probably has people concerned.
Yeah, and general soreness can evolve into things. I mean, we've seen a lot of the soft tissue stuff kind of evolve. You're seeing it in the NBA a lot. You know, whenever a calf gets tight, what happens next? An Achilles pops, you know. So he didn't say what, but it's like whenever your bell cow is not feeling great on a short week, probably not good. And then you look at his overall volume this season, hasn't been what I expected. So I feel like there's something like he's still dinged up from all the workload he got last year.
Now, if you can go ahead and give me cut number one, I know, Corey, this was one of your favorite plays of the weekend, and we saw it last night.
On second down, picked off Lloyd again. Devin Lloyd, what a year. Still rolling down the sideline. One man to beat. Lloyd, pick six.
31-28, the Jags win. We talked about Devin Lloyd earlier. What I want to ask y'all right now about Trevor Lawrence, it's early, but the Jags look good, and they just beat the Chiefs, and Trevor Lawrence is still relatively young. Do you still think there is time, or do you think perhaps now is the time that he will change people's perception about his career?
Just as we discussed, and Devin Lloyd's a great part of this.
For sure.
Did you feel bad for him having to go back out there right after he ran 99 yards?
You know what? That's a great point. I guess I don't think about that enough. And they're like, hey, congratulations. Get back out on the field, buddy.
Because his defense is playing well, it keeps them in games. Last night, that kept them in the game throughout the majority of the game. The second half was when they turned it on.
Yep.
So because his defense is good, they're able to stay in most of the games. If you've watched this season, it's been the defense and the offense has grittily turned out some good points. I think if you're really watching the games that Trevor Lawrence is playing in, you're seeing some mistakes that you're like, you shouldn't be making those, but he's also still got an electric arm. He can run like crazy. And Liam Cohen's starting to hone him in a little more. And I think that's a benefit of it all right now for him. They didn't have any timeouts on that last play. You know, there was so much that it was, I wish Brian Baldinger posted it. That was all instinct.
Yeah.
On Trevor Lawrence's part. Watch the offensive line's instincts and Etienne's instincts on that last play that he scores the touchdown on to win the game. There was just so much instinct, and he needs to play more free like that.
Probably helps that Chris Jones quit on the play, too. Go back and watch him
in
that play.
He was just, I don't know what he did.
Yeah,
I don't know if he thought the play was over or if he was just like, screw this.
I think so.
I'm so tired of Patrick.
By the way, Antonio Gibson, he is out for the rest of the year with a torn ACL. And Kellen Moore, we didn't get to mention this yesterday. Kellen Moore got his first career win as a head coach. Congratulations to him. And then Breece Hall was the first 100-yard rusher against the Cowboys this season. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we're going to change it up a little bit. We're going to power rank the NFL power rankings. But also, no one cares about your fantasy football team, but today we do. So let's hear those triumphs and tumbles, all of it next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.